1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. It is Feltus and Kale for Thursday. A delight to have you along with us. And we are going to talk about an important topic, Dan, in the moments ahead. Saving energy, which is critical these days.
Absolutely, and help people afford to get through the winter and stay in their homes. That's a critical issue.
There's no doubt about it. We will be talking about that today. We'll be talking about the continued success of the Concord High School Crimson Tide as they came up winners last night in a game you heard right here on WKXL. But first, we will take a break, and then we will talk with our guest today right here. It's Feltus and Kale for a Thursday, 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feltus and Kale with you, 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And our guest this morning is Tori Martin, Energy Efficiency Project Manager from Unitil. And we're going to be talking about a group known as NH Saves. And Tori, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
It's great to have you with us. Now, tell us a little bit, first of all, and I know Dan, when I told Dan that you were coming on the program, that he was very excited about it. He's familiar with what's taking place here around the state, of course. But tell us a little bit about NH Saves.
Yeah, so New Hampshire Saves is essentially a collaboration of the four regulated utility companies in the state. So that would be Eversource, Liberty, New Hampshire Electric Co-op, and Unitil. So New Hampshire Saves, kind of a way to kind of think about that is it's sort of a brand of those four regulated utilities. And we work together to provide New Hampshire customers with information, incentives, and support, all designed to save energy, reduce costs, and, of course, protect our environment statewide.
And I know, Dan, as I mentioned, you were very excited to hear that Tori was coming on today. You're familiar with New Hampshire Saves?
Tori, it's great to have you. Absolutely, Ken. That it's award-winning programs, energy efficiency programs. They do a lot with fairly limited supply of resources. And, you know, the Energy Efficiency Resource Standard is up for review at the Public Utilities Commission. Hopefully they'll approve that settlement amongst the stakeholders and the parties. But Tori, in a prior capacity, I worked at New Hampshire Legal Assistance as a legal aid attorney, including intervening at the dockets at the Public Utilities Commission. At that time, it was called the Core Energy Efficiency Dockets for New Hampshire Saves programs involved. So great work. The utilities do amazing work on this, Unitil and others. Can you talk a little bit about the low-income weatherization program, the home energy assistance program, and how you've and Unitil have done working to make sure, working with our community action programs, make sure people can afford to stay in their homes in the wintertime?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess I would say the general rule of thumb is that it's really important to kind of note that these programs exist, right? A lot of people don't realize that. My prior experience is actually working with the Residential Home Performance with Energy Star program, and I was always amazed to know that many people weren't really aware, you know, that these programs exist. So there are programs for residential homeowners, for income-eligible programs as well, and then, of course, the commercial and industrial and municipal programs, which is really what my focus is currently. So I don't do too much with the income-eligible or weatherization assistance programs, but they're available. It's, you know, definitely reach out to your utility if you are ever interested in learning more about all the different aspects of the program.
Well, Tori, I know that you teamed up recently with Liberty and worked on a great New Hampshire Saves energy efficiency project with the new T-Bones location in Concord.
So the T-Bones, it's their sixth and largest location, right off of exit 12, off of I-93, right here in Concord. So I was able to work with them by pairing up with Fulcrum, who is a general contractor located in Amherst. So it was a really, really good and comprehensive project. We were able to incentivize both measures that were eligible for natural gas rebates, along with electric saving measures on the Unitil side as well.
So how did it all start? I mean, did you reach out to them? Did T-Bones reach out to you? How did it all begin?
Yeah. So that's a great point. So I would say, I think it was back in August of 2019, my coworkers and I, pretty much our role is to kind of act as relationship managers. So we're supposed to, you know, be going out and fostering these relationships with different trade allies, whether that's general contractors, architects, engineers, HVAC companies, and the like. So anybody that's going to have their hands on these projects. And so we really started getting involved with Fulcrum because we did a lunch and learn. So we offered to bring lunch and talk about the New Hampshire Saves program and all these different ways that they could take advantage of the program and ultimately provide incentives to their customers. So we did a lunch and learn in August of 2019. One of their project managers notified us that they were working on this project. And from there, they gave us access to their project management software, where we have access to all of the drawing sets. So typically when we're working on a project, we like to see the mechanical plans, the electrical plans, plumbing, as well as architectural plans, and we do an initial comb through of that. So we kind of take a look and say, what is going on here, and what could we potentially look at incentivizing? And then from there, we work with the contractor and the customer to get the necessary documentation needed to then send that project in for further review, and then the engineers take a look and do their calculations from there. So it just started from a lunch and learn, which is awesome, and now we're, you know, they're a really great trade ally that we work with often.
Tori, how many projects do you do per year?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I wouldn't really know the total number, but I'd say probably hundreds between you know, the natural gas and the electric programs, and then, you know, each of us, meaning my coworkers and I, work with different trade allies in different capacities, and pretty much we're just out there trying to find projects that we can work with customers and contractors on to provide incentives for.
And Ken, this is a very unique public-private partnership, you know, and the work that you're doing out in the community and partnering up with folks is tremendous, and, you know, obviously approved by the PUC, Public Utilities Commission, and you know, talk a little bit about how innovative these programs are, and in fact, award-winning.
Yeah, so they're here to help, right? So they're really here to invest in the New Hampshire economy and give back to the ratepayers, you know, who are helping to fund these programs. So the great thing, and the one thing to really keep in mind, anybody that's interested in learning more, is engage with your utility as soon as possible. If it's a thought in your mind that you want to build a new project in Londonderry, reach out to your utility contact. These programs are very comprehensive. There's a number of different measures that could be incentivized. Everything has to be reviewed, so it has to pass a cost-to-benefit test. But pretty much the biggest rule of thumb is to engage with your utilities. We want to hear about all these different projects that are going on, and if you engage early, that's really going to open up the door for deeper energy savings and higher incentive levels for these projects. And there's a lot of funding. So, you know, in prior years, people might say, oh, you know, the utility programs ran out of funding. That's not an issue anymore. There's a plethora of different avenues that people could go down and different funding levels. And so the best rule of thumb is really to just reach out as early on as possible. And that also gives us kind of an opportunity to take a deeper dive into the project, and maybe they're recommending a piece of equipment that doesn't quite meet the threshold that we need. We can then provide recommendations saying, you know, if you go with this piece of equipment, you'll be able to be eligible for an incentive.
Let's just use T-Bones as we did as an example. And what kind of issues were they running into that made them reach out to New Hampshire Saves and get the help from you?
Yeah, so it wasn't any particular issues, I would say, that they were running into. This was a ground-up new construction project, mm-hmm. So it's great, you know, to engage with them. And Fulcrum brought it to our attention. So what we did is we kind of just worked with their project managers, and we took a look at what they were proposing to install, and then could kind of provide recommendations based on that. So really, the driver here is the general contractor, Fulcrum, presenting this project to us, which then opens up all these different opportunities for us to work with the customer and really leverage the incentives that are available.
So that was a new construction project, but obviously, you know, your work is so broad. It can be for existing customers who are doing rehab or upgrades, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, energy efficiency, Ken, the cheapest unit of energy is the one you don't use. And so, Tori, you know, your work on this is amazing. It not only helps customers save on their bills, but it also is good for the environment, if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you really hit the point right there. Essentially, what we're going to be looking at is there's code, right? So 2015 code was adopted in New Hampshire, and you can go to code and you can look at all the measures that you have to kind of meet in terms of efficiency requirements and everything. The program's going to look at incentivizing anything that goes above and beyond code. So we want to incentivize energy efficiency as much as possible. So if you're installing a rooftop unit that just meets code, probably not, you know, there's not going to be rebates for that because you have to go to code anyway. These programs are designed to save energy, save the customer energy, and provide incentives to customers. And kind of the thought is if we can provide incentives for these measures, it's just a revolving, you know, fund, so to speak. They're going to be saving money in the long run because they're having a higher energy efficient piece of equipment. The operation costs will be down, and occupant comfort too is another huge aspect of a lot of these projects. Just a number of energy and non-energy benefits that can be realized.
Our guest on this edition of Feldes and Kale is Tori Martin, who is the Energy Efficiency Project Manager with Unitil. And what about, people like to hear numbers. I mean, we can talk in generalizations till the cows come home, as it were. But people like to hear numbers. What are some of the numbers you can relate to us, and what kind of energy costs are being saved at T-Bones as a result of your partnership with them?
Yeah, so I'll just kind of briefly, you know, run through those numbers. Once we identify that there are energy-saving measures that are eligible, we ask for quotes or estimates for that equipment or measures that are being installed. That kind of helps us and the engineers complete the calculations and kind of really realize what those energy savings and incentives are going to be. So we estimated in this project in particular that the incremental cost, which is the cost incurred to invest in those energy efficiency measures, was roughly just under $22,000 on the natural gas side and just over $28,000 on the electric side. So that brings our total incremental cost to $50,300. And then New Hampshire Saves, again, Liberty Gas and Unitil Electric, were able to provide a total incentive of $21,371 for these measures. And that brings that net cost down to $28,900 for this project. And there's a variety of different measures that, you know, made up those numbers.
So is that pretty typical of the savings that, you know, folks can expect if they enter into a partnership with New Hampshire Saves?
I would say yes, definitely typical. Again, everything kind of has to be screened. The annual energy cost for this project was roughly $11,286, which brings that payback to 2.6 years. And a lot of the calculations are based on, you know, projected energy use too. So a building that maybe isn't a restaurant obviously would realize a little bit different savings, but pretty much if you're installing an energy efficient measures and equipment, you're going to be eligible for rebates and incentives. Just send us everything you got and we'll kind of do the calculations. But definitely, you know, you can see on this case study that'll be posted soon, like the fryer and the convection oven. Those are general things that can be incentivized through our prescriptive program. And then this project was just encompassed a lot of different measures, so we kind of wrapped it up all into one.
And Tori, everybody likes to talk about some of the new technologies out there and clean energy, but it's sometimes overlooked the value of energy efficiency and how much value it can be for not just for the customer, but the environment. Can you give some specific examples of, and you've touched on this a little bit, but some specific examples of energy efficiency upgrades that the project that you oversee and folks might be able to tap into?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start kind of on the Unitil side. So again, Unitil Electric. For this project in particular, there were controls on the rooftop units, and the rooftop units met the efficiency requirements. So that's something that we were able to incentivize here. Another big aspect is kitchen demand control ventilation. That saved quite a bit of, you know, projected kilowatt hour savings. And then LED lighting, too, kind of could be considered a little bit of a low fruit measure, but we know LED lighting is a very prominent measure in energy efficiency. So those were kind of the three main points on the electric side we were able to incentivize. And then on the gas side, really talking about energy efficiency, one of the things that we were able to incentivize is above code wall insulation. And I think insulation is so important, right? Because if you're going to be building a building, try to make it as energy efficient as possible first. So insulate as much as you can. So above code insulation, then we did a convection oven, the fryer, and a direct fired makeup air unit on the gas side. And then all of those things combined, you know, bring us to our estimated energy savings and then total incentive that we were able to provide.
So you talked about the importance of insulation for sure. And what are some of the other ways that New Hampshire businesses can implement energy efficiency at you know, to lower their costs?
Yeah, there's a lot of different types of programs. Liberty in particular offers a direct install program. So there's a lot of low-hanging fruit measures that businesses could tap into. Those are things like programmable thermostats and maybe some boiler controls and faucet aerators and really just things that are very low cost to implement but are going to save energy as well. There's also technical assistance. So if a business just doesn't really know where to start, definitely reach out to your utility. We're here to help. Maybe we can provide technical assistance or do a walkthrough or an energy audit. Just, again, the general rule of thumb, reach out to your utilities and kind of see what these types of programs can offer. There is a new initiative, too, I'll just briefly touch on. It's the Four Pathways that New Hampshire Saves is launching this year. And that, you know, there's four pathways. Can range from like zero net energy projects, whole building EUI reduction. Those are things that businesses may be interested in looking into as well. And those four pathways are designed to provide both customer incentives along with design team incentives. So we're really trying to make sure that anyone who can reap the benefits of the program are.
And Tori, your point about reaching out to do an energy audit, it's tough to... There's so much information out there these days on so many different things, including during this conversation. So much information has been provided. If you're a business owner listening, you know, you can reach out to Tori and, you know, have an energy audit and have those recommendations. And if you can just kind of, for listeners, walk through what that would involve, how they would reach out, and what actually is an energy audit and what is the outcome of it.
Yeah, so there's certainly different levels. There's like level one and level two energy audits that really are very comprehensive and align well with what the building needs, essentially. We would kind of be doing a walkthrough with a thermal imaging camera, sometimes maybe running a blower door test, kind of depending on the size of the building. But I would just say, you know, feel free to reach out to me if anybody has any questions. If I'm not the right person, for you, or if I'm not the right contact person, I'll get you to that correct contact person. The really cool thing about this project is that we are contractors with Unitil and Liberty, so there was one point person for the customer on this one. So pretty much if you bring us any projects, whoever you reach out to will make sure you get in the right hands. And then, you know, like I mentioned, the technical assistance and walkthroughs, we're happy to come in and meet with you, sit down, see what your plans are for your building, any upcoming projects you have. We really want to be engaged as much as possible, and we're here to help.
And it is, when you think about it, a rather unique partnership with four utility companies. I can't imagine that four, you know, quote-unquote competing radio stations would align to work on something, but I think it is a rather unique partnership.
It definitely is. I can't speak highly enough about these programs and just, you know, putting the emphasis on the fact that they're here to help and we do all collaborate with one another. So it is great.
So if you're out there listening to this program, Tori, a business owner or a resident of the utilities. What is the website? What's the phone number to call to reach out to get more information to potentially do an energy audit?
Yeah, so I would say the best first place to start would be NewHampshireSaves.com. From there, you can then navigate to whether you're a homeowner, you can go to the residential program page, or if you are a business or even a municipality, you can go to the home or the business and municipality page. From there, there's going to be different types of programs and different flyers, because if you're a Liberty customer, you know, you're going to want to reach out to Liberty or Eversource. You're going to want to reach out to Eversource. So I would just start at that NewHampshireSaves.com. But, you know, always feel free to reach out to me if I can help navigate that website in any way for you.
And certainly start to make a dent in your energy costs, and certainly very helpful for business owners throughout the state of New Hampshire. No doubt about that. And so are you working on any big projects right now that you can share with us?
Yeah, so there's a new addition to a school in Salem that I'm working on. I'm also working with the town of Pelham on a new highway garage project. And then some of the smaller projects, like we mentioned before, it could be a commercial building that needs a new HVAC system. So I will work with a trade ally like the HVAC contractor to help provide incentives for something on a smaller scale, just like that. So our projects can kind of go from something really simple and small, like a boiler, or something large, like a brand new school. So it's really cool to kind of see all the different possibilities that the program presents us with.
So I guess you would say no project is too big, nor is any project too small for New Hampshire Saves. That's good.
That is good. Yeah. That's great. Well, and Tori, if you know, any kind of last minute advice to folks out there who may be listening and thinking about updating their home or their business, HVAC, whatever, in terms of energy efficiency, what are just some of the major take home points that you would let folks know about?
Yeah, and I know I've said it a million times, but engage with your utility early. Find that contact person and let them know that you're looking at this project. I'd also say, and it could be biased, or I could be biased because I'm very passionate about these programs, but you might want to, you know, install new countertops on your home. But if you could invest in energy efficiency and save all that money on your fuel costs, you know, that makes sense to me. And then maybe down the line you can do those countertop projects. So I would just say, you know, really understanding the importance of energy efficiency, trying to realize the energy savings benefits, the occupancy comfort, lower operation costs in general is a really big thing. But I would just kind of put emphasis on the fact that we are here to help customers, homeowners, municipalities, and businesses navigate these programs and really invest in energy efficiency, which will reap benefits for years to come.
Well, Tori, I want to thank you on behalf of Dan and myself for being with us today. Lots of great information. I'm sure we've reached people who had no idea what New Hampshire Saves was all about, and now they do. And again, the best way to get involved is to log on to nhsaves.com. So, Tori, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tori.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Feldis and Kale, it's a Thursday, 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. It's Feldis and Kale for a Thursday. And, Dan, last night, the Concord High Crimson Tide did it again. They moved on to the championship game on Saturday, which will be in Manchester at the JFK Coliseum against Salem.
Yep.
Concord,
be a heck of a game.
It should be. Concord won their game 4-1 over Bishop Girton last night. And in the other semifinal, Salem and Bedford went to overtime, with Salem winning a real thriller, 2-1 in overtime. So it will be a very good matchup on Saturday evening at Manchester's JFK Coliseum. Last night, our own Matt Corsetti did the game on WKXL, and hoping Matt will be back there on Saturday night for the final. And of course, last last time around, last year, because of the pandemic, Concord and Bedford were slated to go to the championship game but couldn't play it as a result of the pandemic. They thought they were going to play right up until the day before, but unfortunately the game never took place. The teams, Concord and Bedford, were declared co-champions of Division I, but now they will settle it on the ice.
On the ice this Saturday, Ken. Congratulations, Concord Crimson Tide, and best of luck Saturday night against Salem. Go Concord, go Crimson Tide. Ken, what are your takeaways from last night's game?
Well, I tell you what, Concord scored first early in the game and set the tone there. 3 minutes into the first period, they scored the goal that eventually put them ahead to stay. And they, you know, I tell you what, the game was a lot closer, really, than the final score might indicate. Bishop Gurton was a very good opponent, very good team. And Kevin Jones, the Concord goaltender, was called upon to make a number of key saves that were very important. And, again, one of the toughest rivals that Concord has faced this year. Despite the, you know, the 4-1 score, Bishop Gurton was a very good opponent. They Concord scored the first three goals of the game. Gurton made it a 3-1 game in the third period. And then Concord got that three-goal lead back a little bit later on. But a good, solid effort by both clubs last night. Concord just, you know, three goals better, which was terrific. And they are a very deep team. Everyone, again, you know, made contributions from top to bottom on that roster. So I can't say enough about, you know, what they have done this year. They've only lost two games. They're now 15-2. And both of those losses were one-goal losses.
Yep.
One goal. So
they got a great squad.
And Salem does, too. So it should be a terrific matchup on Saturday night.
And, Ken, you're usually pretty good at predicting things. And if you're comfortable predicting, what do you think is going to happen Saturday night?
Well, I'm a little bit biased, Dan, as you know. I didn't go to Concord High School, but at any rate, no, I think I would have to give the Crimson Tide the edge. Their depth is just unbelievable. I mean, every game, it's somebody different that, you know, stands out, or two or three guys, really. But their depth is really one of the keys to their success. And when you look at their roster this year, you have to think that next year, you know, has the potential of being, you know, just as good as this one, with a lot of the key players, the key components of this team coming back for their senior seasons. So, and sometimes, you know, junior seasons and sophomore seasons. I mean, it's been such a great team effort from start to finish this year. And, you know, for all these teams, not just Concord, but for all these teams, whether it be hockey, basketball, whatever sport you want to talk about, you know, it's been a very difficult year dealing with COVID. Many teams, including Concord, have been shut down for periods of time because of you know, a COVID detection, and or someone came in contact with someone who had COVID, or whatever the situation may be. All of these teams have had to deal with that. So it's been a very unique and difficult season for all these teams.
Unique and difficult season, and as we mentioned on a prior program, not really the availability to watch in person, obviously. And so there's a lot of folks implementing different protocols and doing a good job, the coaches, the staff, personnel, the students, student-athletes. So credit to all of them, not just in Concord, but across the state for doing a good job on that. And, Ken, if folks wanted to check out the championship game, see Concord take on Salem in the championship Saturday night, what are the details on that if they wanted to watch that?
Well, the best thing to do in this scenario, I would log on to NHIAA.org because in these championship situations, they have the exclusive live telecast rights. And it's a paid situation. People are going to have to pay for it. We've had the games on the Concord High School Boys Hockey Facebook page through last night, absolutely free on the Facebook page. But now it'll have to be a pay-per-view kind of event.
Really?
So, hopefully what we're planning to do, and not 100% certain right now, is to record the game on Saturday and have it later on available on the Concord High School hockey Facebook page. But we cannot, under contractual situations, put it on live. So it's unfortunate, but we are hoping that Matt Corsetti will be back, and we'll have the game live here on WKXL. So that's one way to follow it.
There you go.
And I will promise on my own Facebook page to give updates of what's going on. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, or if you are already following me, I will promise to give you updates when each goal is scored, or maybe give you a few highlights along the way. But so there are a few ways you can do it. But if you want to see the game live, you're going to have to pay for it. So that's the beauty of radio.
Yeah, that's right.
You can hear it. Matt will do a great job. And that's 7 o'clock Saturday night at the JFK Coliseum. There were, I would say, looking across, I was in the press box last night looking across the way to the spectators. There were probably, I would say, 75 to 100 people there last night. The players get, passes. I think each player gets like 3 passes, something like that. So. But it's still not the same, because you know that under different circumstances, the JFK Coliseum would have been packed last night. The Everett Arena, where they had another semifinal night, would have been packed as well. And then what normally happens, Dan, is that all the divisions get together, the 3 hockey divisions, the boys' hockey divisions, and the girls. And in a normal year, all 4 championship games would be played on Saturday at the SNHU Arena in Manchester. And it's a great, great day. I mean, there have been times when, I've done 2, 3, one time even 4 games on the radio for that championship day at formerly the Verizon Wireless Arena, now SNHU Arena. But it's a great event, and thousands of people come in and out of that building for those 4 games. But unfortunately, this year, due to the pandemic that we're still acutely aware of, it won't be able to happen. But hopefully next year, hopefully by March of 2022, all the championships will be settled under one roof in Manchester on that great Saturday in March.
Let's hope so.
Let us hope so. It is Feldis and Kale. This is a Thursday. It is a delight to have you along with us. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 11:05. We have, I know there's that cancel culture out there, but we have not been canceled, folks. Feldis and Kale prevail every Tuesday and Thursday at 11:05 a.m. And you might, catch repeats of that show every so often during the course of the week as well. We will take a break right here. Feldis and Kale, we're on 103.9. 1450 WKXL, and you can always hear the some of the great shows on WKXL from around the clock on nhtalkradio.com. Feldis and Kale for a Thursday here on 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Tonight's going to be a big night. On Thursday evening, around 8 o'clock tonight, Joe Biden, he is the president. He is going to be giving his first address as president of the United States. Now, it's not going to be before a joint session of Congress or anything like that. I'm sure it'll be in a very controlled atmosphere. But what do you expect, Dan, from the president tonight?
Well, I expect President Biden to lay out that he is delivering on his promises. The American Rescue Plan, which he'll sign tomorrow, delivers real relief to working class Americans in form of child care, tax credit, earned income tax credit expansion, $1,400 stimulus checks, affordable housing, you name it, vaccine, boosting vaccine efforts across the country, and real support for school reopening. Make sure that folks can really reopen schools, which is critical to getting kids back in the classroom and critical to our economy. So you're going to hear, I think, the president talk about those key efforts, including making sure our healthcare system is bolstered, including capping and lowering premiums on the Affordable Care Act exchanges. Those are all critical to working families and small businesses, not just in New Hampshire, but across the country. And Ken, as you know, New Hampshire is set to get the 12th most per capita out of the American Rescue Plan stimulus package out of any other state, 12th most per capita here in New Hampshire. So New Hampshire makes out very well. Thankful to Senator Shaheen, Senator Hassan, for their leadership, as well as Representative Pappas and Custer, to make sure that this passes. And by the way, while it didn't have, Ken, unfortunately, a Republican vote, it has overwhelming bipartisan support in the general public, including in New Hampshire. So it's important to deliver on those promises. President Biden promised to deliver. We're 50 days into his presidency, and tomorrow he will be signing a historic stimulus package to help our economy and our public health system and help us all move forward and out of this mess.
Yeah, not a single Republican vote in the Senate nor in the House of Representatives in Washington. And, you know, I know the polls say that the general public is generally, I can't say overwhelmingly, but generally, you know, favorable toward this bill, $1.9 trillion. But I think many of them are excited about the fact that they're going to get $1,400 more in their wallets. I think that's really, for most people, Dan, honestly, that's what they care about, is getting that extra money.
Well, certainly that's going to help. And that has been, to some degree, in large measure, a focus for a lot of folks. And that will be a huge help for a lot of families and workers and small business owners around the country and in New Hampshire. And there's also support for restaurant owners in this, which is critical to the hospitality industry, including in New Hampshire. And Ken, you and I have talked about it, but New Hampshire, we have 56,000 less private sector jobs right now than we did a year ago. 56,000 less private sector jobs in New Hampshire right now than we did a year ago. And over 20,000 in the hospitality, restaurant, and tourism industry, which has been particularly hard hit right here in New Hampshire. So the work of Senator Shaheen and Hassan to make sure that restaurant owners in particular are targeted with relief here in New Hampshire, I think, has been critical. And, you know, it's a welcome sign. Help is on the way. President Biden will sign the American Rescue Plan tomorrow, and real relief will be delivered. In addition to the $1,400 stimulus checks, there's a bunch of efforts targeting working class folks, including helping people right here in New Hampshire. And Ken, you and I have talked about the importance of childcare in this program plenty of times, making sure that workers don't have to choose between work and family, that they have access to affordable, quality childcare. And there's historic support for childcare in this measure. And that will really help our providers on the ground, which are really seeing a lot of constraints and, you know, considering in many cases increasing, you know, costs on workers and working families just because they have to, given the protocols. So it's critical. This support could not come at a better and more important time for our economy and for public health and to boost our vaccine supply right here in New Hampshire.
Well, I hope it does all of those things and more. I really and truly do, because as you pointed out, the restaurants, especially the restaurants, have really suffered greatly from this. And, yeah, and we hope that it does help them. You know, who was it? Andrew Wang was a candidate for president among many in the on the Democratic side in 2020. And, you know, his idea, people, you know, kind of scoffed at it. Giving the American public, every American citizen, $1,000 a month to help boost the economy. Everybody kind of laughed at that. But, you know, we're almost getting to that point now. Almost getting to that point where they're putting $1,000 in our pockets every month. You know, the thought crossed me. Now, you know a lot more about this stuff than I do. But, you know, what if you did give every adult, say everybody over 21 in this country, $1,000, $1,200 a month. But the criteria is to do away with unemployment and welfare. You do away with unemployment, do away with welfare, but give everybody $1,200 a month as a stipend.
Well, first, you know, Andrew Yang really propelled that conversation, no doubt about it. You know, I think that's an important conversation to have. I do think that the social safety network, if you will, be it food stamps, be it TANF, be it unemployment insurance for people who have lost work, that is the important fabric of what has been built over time, dating back to 1935, the Social Security Act.
Oh, I'm not saying getting rid of Social Security. No, don't do that.
Oh,
No, don't do that.
I hear you. I hear you, brother.
That's most of my income.
There you go.
It's certainly vital.
Part of the Social Security Act, though, was unemployment insurance. And, you know, and obviously Lyndon Johnson's Great Society expanded some of these. These are very targeted to people who need it most. So I don't think that it makes sense to erase unemployment insurance. And if you look at it, look, you know, the wage replacement ratio on unemployment insurance, sometimes depending on where you're at and what earnings you had and you pay into the system, could exceed $1,000 or that a month. And so, look, I think it, you know, look, unemployment insurance still has a very, very vital role. I think the only state that has really experimented to a degree with universal basic income concept has been Alaska. And, you know, I think the economic evaluations of it has been, you know, somewhat mixed. So it's a worthy idea. I think you're right, though, Ken, that when you look at the different measures that have been passed, the stimulus checks that have gone out, and including this additional bolstering under the American Rescue Plan that President Biden put forward, I think that, you know, you could make an argument that we're getting onto a kind of a regular basis of this, but this is money that goes right back into the economy. And we have a consumer-driven economy. It's going to bolster our economy. It's critical to do that. I think you may have seen, Ken, that President Biden is not insisting, as his predecessor did, to have his name on the checks, which would slow down the checks from going out. President Biden said, don't put my name on the check. Get the check out. Unlike President Trump, who insisted to have his name on the check, and it slowed down the process. So relief is on the way. It may not have President Biden's name on the check, but President Biden is the one that pushed it across the finish line.
Well, and we'll hear from him tonight, being Thursday, his first address, 50 days in office, and he still has not had a press conference. Jen Psaki, the president's press secretary, says that it will be coming before the end of the month, but we have not heard a press conference yet, and you know, it's taken him longer than I think any president since Grover Cleveland to have had a press conference. Do you think it's coming?
Well, look, I think Jen is providing Psaki is providing regular press conferences, and in a break, my view, Ken, with the prior administration providing factual information at the press conferences. So that's valuable. And I think that the president tonight will address the nation about the American Rescue Plan. His commitment was to deliver real relief for working class folks, for working families and small businesses, and help get us out of this mess. He has ramped up the vaccine distribution. He has unique public-private partnerships with Johnson & Johnson and Merck and others. This rescue plan has ramps up and boosts the vaccine efforts in and of themselves. He's committed to 100 million doses in his first 100 days. He's well on track to do that. We are seeing welcome relief, and we're seeing a laser focus by this president, Ken, on delivering real results. I think sometimes people focus a little bit too much on press conferences and not enough on solving problems. President Biden's focus on solving problems.
All right. You heard it from Dan Feltus, folks. And we'll hear again from Dan and myself on Tuesday. It's Feltus and Kale, 103.9, 1450, NH Talk Radio. www.thebestofcanada.com. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, and join us again Tuesday at 11:05.